What I want to do is, and this is kind of consistent with my reputation, before I even talk about what I'm here to talk about, I want to do a tangent. I find that our local government clients on the city side of land use regulation sometimes lose their focus. And so I wanted to start out with a summary that I've had in this presentation or those like it for a number of years and encourage you to look through these things and talk to your clients and make sure that your land use process is following these criteria, because there's a definite fit into the issue of immunity. And when you deal with these cases and you argue pleas to the jurisdiction and you show up in front of trial judges that have a gut instinct about what's fair and what's right and what's stupid and what's not right, it's a whole lot better if you don't have an unmitigated mess to try to defend to the court under the principles of immunity. Courts are going to be a whole lot more friendly to your immunity arguments if you don't have situations that are inherently unfair, obnoxious, and could have easily been avoided. The next piece of that same puzzle is the due process piece, because one of the ways that cities can give a big gift to developers is to do things that violate their due process rights or their vested rights because we're not paying attention. Being attentive to the issues, we end up with consequences that even if they involve immunity under state law, which is mostly what we're talking about today in the focus of our review of recent cases, that we grant them a 1983 due process cause of action and a right to attorney's fees. And the attorney's fees frequently results in a leverage point that the developers use to settle their cases in a way that we would have preferred to avoid. So, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on those. Y'all can read. You understand what I'm talking about. If you've been doing this for very long, you understand that because you've experienced it yourself.